The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Amen. Please be seated. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. The Apostle Paul spoke these words to the church in Thessalonica 2,000 years ago, and through Scripture, the Holy Spirit speaks these words to us today. Right now, our community is grieving as we struggle to understand how to respond to the horrible act of evil that was committed in Sutherland Springs a week ago. And so today feels like an appropriate time to explore this question together. How do we grieve as Christians? Paul in our scripture today says, not to grieve as others do who have no hope. So how do we grieve with hope? I believe our liturgy serves as a guide in this respect, as it so often does. The Episcopal service of burial from the Book of Common Prayer shows us how we grieve with hope. At first glance, our funeral liturgy might seem kind of strange. On an occasion of sadness and grief, the funeral service is full of praise and thanksgiving. In a time of death, we sing songs about resurrection and life. And you may have noticed that at a funeral, the priest's vestments and the altar hangings are white. White is the liturgical color of Easter. The only times we wear white are in times of joy and celebration. The 50 days of Easter, saints' feast days, baptisms, and weddings. So it's a little strange that funerals should be found among such joyous and celebratory occasions. But in the Episcopal tradition, we believe that every burial service is an Easter service. Because Christ has promised that he has gone before us to prepare a place for us, the sorrow of death is at the same time a celebration of resurrection. And so at a burial service, even while we mourn bitterly the loss of someone we love, we also celebrate that they have been raised from the dead and have followed Christ into that place where there is no mourning or crying or pain. A funeral is a place where both darkness and light are found together, where black mourning clothes and white vestments do not contradict each other, because both point to the same truth. Christian author Barbara Johnson described well how we as the church live in the midst of this paradox. She said, "We are an Easter people living in a Good Friday world." As followers of Christ, we are Easter people, people of life and resurrection and joy, living in a Good Friday world, a world of injustice and death and suffering. So, what does it mean for us today to find ourselves in the midst of that paradox? Being an Easter people does not mean that we are called to put on a happy face and be cheerful all the time. It does not mean that Christians should just move on from tragedy. It does not mean that Christians should ignore pain and suffering and just focus on the positives. And it does not mean that we should paint over the very real darkness of life with sentimental platitudes. There is nothing cheap or fake about the kind of Easter joy that we are called to. Easter joy does not exist without the pain of the cross. When we rejoice in the light of resurrection, it is only because we have already walked through the darkness of death. And we taste the sweetness of salvation because we know the bitterness of suffering. Being an Easter people means drawing near the cross, not running away from it. It means feeling real grief at the pain and injustice of our world. It means having our hearts broken when we hear of children being slain in church. If we are to truly be an Easter people, we must first draw near to the cross. For in the cross, we know both the deep pain of the world and the promise of new life. It's hard to hold these two things together at the same time. It's hard to live every day in that tension. But as disciples of Christ, that is right where we need to be. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." Our calling is to dwell in that tension and to always be discerning when it is time to celebrate and give thanks and when it is time to mourn and console. Theologians have a name for this strange, paradoxical, in-between zone that we find ourselves in. They call it the already but not yet. The already but not yet. God's kingdom has already come to earth in Christ. Death has been vanquished in the cross, but not all things are completed yet. And we still live in a world that is broken. And so as we find ourselves in the already but not yet, we grieve with hope. We grieve the loss of 26 innocent lives, and we have hope that they are resurrected with Christ. We grieve the violence and bloodshed that mars our nation, and we have hope that the Prince of Peace will prevail. We grieve that our sense of safety is shattered, and we have hope that our true safety is not found in guns or in bulletproof vests, but in the love of God in Christ Jesus, from which nothing can separate us. We have hope that the Lord we worship knows the pain of this world intimately, having been put to death on a cross. And we have hope that the same God who raised his son from the grave will raise us up also. As a church community, we at St. Andrew's grieve together, and we hope together, and we pray together fervently for wisdom in the way forward. Let us close with a prayer for peace from the Book of Common Prayer. Eternal God, in whose perfect kingdom no sword is drawn but the sword of righteousness, no strength known but the strength of love, so mightily spread abroad your spirit that all peoples may be gathered under the banner of the Prince of Peace as children of one Father, to whom be dominion and glory now and forever. Amen.